Welcome to another episode of Pilot Say What, where we get to hear what pilots have to say. And today we'll be talking with Jordan. She's a new guest that we haven't had on yet. My name is Zach, and I host this podcast from week to week. It's available here on YouTube or on Spotify and Apple Music, streaming platforms like that. If wherever you're listening, feel free to give us a subscribe or a rating, and it does a lot to help other people find us, especially if they're interested in general aviation, they're a CFI, they're a student, or they're just thinking about getting started. That being said, we'll get right into it. And Jordan's someone who's just started in their commercial rating, so there's some cool things to hear about there. And you've also moved here from out of state, so I think there's a little bit to talk about there. Before we get into all that stuff, though, would you mind giving us a brief introduction of who you are?
Yeah, I'm Jordan. I'm originally from California. I started doing flight training back in September, okay. So it's been about 4 or 5 months now. Like you said, I'm starting commercial.
Right.
Yeah, and aviation's been awesome so far. I'm really happy I decided to go through with it.
Awesome. I have lots of questions, obviously. How did you kind of get interested in aviation?
So my family's in it. My dad's a pilot, so I kind of grew up around it. I just never really considered it as an option. I don't know. I feel like it's also not something really pushed for girls either.
Right.
And then I was about halfway through college, and I kind of decided I didn't want to do like a 9-to-5. I was like, I don't think this is for me. Uh-huh. And so I've always admired my dad, and my mom kind of also worked in aviation a little bit. So I thought I'd go down this path because I knew what the lifestyle was like.
Right. It seems like the exposure of it shows you that there may, because a lot of people don't realize there's another option outside of 9-to-5, or they just don't think about it at all.
Yeah.
But to your point, what gave you the inkling that you might not want to do the 9-to-5? Because were you still in college when you thought about that, or were you already working?
Yeah, no, I was about midway through my junior year, and I was like just doing all like my core classes for my degree. And I kind of was like, right, I don't know how much I love this. Like, I'm okay learning it, but I was like, if I'm at a desk the next 50 years just doing this, I was like, I don't know if I would find myself happy. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, like, I was like, I don't care if I work weekends. Traveling the world seems awesome. And I've always thought, like, seeing what my dad did was so cool. And I just never, I don't know, I just never really thought of it, because it's very much go to high school. And then where I'm from, it was just very much like go to a 4-year.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the pipeline you just follow, and then you're in it, and you're like, wait, maybe I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but you questioned it while you were there. And,
yeah.
And that makes sense to me. So is that, at some point, do you just look into flight school, or did you ask some questions? Did you get exposed to it a bit more?
I started looking into it before even like talking to anyone about it. I was just like low key, like on my own time, just kind of like looking into it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't want to like start talking about it and then like maybe not go through with it. And then after a few months, I decided to like talk to like my family about it. I was like, hey, this is something I'm thinking about, and they were like kind of really surprised.
Yeah.
And then from that point, it was more just like, where do I want to go? Okay. I was living in Seattle at the time, which obviously isn't great for flight training with the weather. It's always raining and all of that. So I knew I needed to move. Mm-hmm. So it kind of was just, where do I want to go from there?
Right.
So.
And you said you're originally from California, right?
Yeah.
I guess what I'm wondering is, what's it like having had moved from state to state to state, and now you're in Texas? is there anything about Texas that you like or don't like?
It's really flat. As someone that's always been by the ocean and had like mountains nearby, I'm like, I kind of miss the view of like having that, which sounds silly.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
But obviously, at least I get to be in the sky and see everything from a bird's eye view. But I think I miss just like the ocean a lot. Having
the weather
that
was probably pretty nice.
Yeah, 75 and sunny. I can't complain. So
yeah, you get a little bit of everything here, but nothing like California. Almost.
Yeah. The snowstorm last week was a new one for me. That's the first time I've ever experienced anything like
that.
Yeah,
I think it's like once every 2 years we get iced over. And we don't even get good snow. It's not even fun. It's just like ice.
It's just ice. Yeah I'm like on the verge of slipping the whole time.
Yeah, it's not
like
a good time.
So.
Okay, so you mentioned your parents were in aviation. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you mind sharing what did they do that was in aviation?
Yeah, my dad's a pilot for Delta. Okay. And then my mom used to be an accountant for Millionaire, so the fueling company.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in Long Beach Airport, and then my dad's based out of LAX, so.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what did it look like when you got to the point where you wanted to start looking into it? Do you just, like, Google aviation jobs? Do you look into pilots? And then what brought you to the point of looking into Thrust?
Yeah, so I kind of narrowed it down to, like, a few states I was, like, willing to move to.
Okay.
It was kind of, like, California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida were kind of some options.
Right.
And then I honestly was like, Texas sounds fun, like was honestly just like what I thought. So I started looking to schools in Texas. Mm-hmm. And then my dad actually had a first officer that went to Thrust and recommended it to him. And so then I kind of looked it into it that way. That's kind of how I found it, was just Googling, but also hearing about it from someone else, which is interesting. But I looked at some other places, but I just thought this would be the best fit.
Yeah, I always like to know how people find it, because a lot of people say it's either recommendation or something online.
Yeah.
And did you look into us and see our like channels and things like that?
Things like that, yeah. And then I also came out and like toured it before I came, just to like look at everything.
And did you tour other schools?
No, I just came out here and I honestly was pretty content with it. I was like, it has everything I'm looking for. And so I kind of was like set with that, because I knew I didn't want to do the ATP route, just because I've heard some things.
Yeah. And, you know, it's for some people, but a lot of people say they tour here and they're like, oh, well, I don't need to worry about anything else. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to kind of, we're going to go into some of your training, but I kind of want to zoom out a little bit more. Just to give people some context, what's something about you that kind of makes you maybe like helps people understand you, or maybe it's a way that your family or friends would describe you? What would they say about you?
Oh, I feel like I'm pretty outgoing. I've been told I'm pretty bubbly.
Okay.
So maybe that. I feel like I just try to be myself. Like, I really don't, like, if not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. And I feel like that's something you have to be okay with throughout going with training. You're gonna fly with people that maybe they don't like you, and that's okay. And it's not maybe something personal to your character. It might just be you don't get along. Maybe you don't have anything in common. Like, you know, and I feel like it's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It sounds like that might be something that would help you in aviation, because you're gonna be flying. You're gonna be meeting new people every day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at first. But
yeah, every flight's supposed to, like, right now in training, it's like you get to know your CFI and people in your ground classes, and obviously you see everyone at school.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like the airlines, it's like you're with a new person every day. So
right.
I think it's also good to be able to just talk about random like even something you might not be interested in, but just asking questions, because maybe they're really passionate about something that you're not, but finding something that you can just chat about, because it makes the flight like more enjoyable. Because obviously when you're just sitting up there for hours, you're not, every once in a while you're gonna, you know, talk about life too, and not just the plane.
Yeah, exactly. And it takes a lot of people skills, it sounds like. And,
so
you think people would maybe even say that about you?
Okay, gotcha.
I guess I like to give people an idea of, you know, what it's like coming into aviation with different personality types. So now that you're in training, is there any scenarios like where you feel like that's been able to help you, being able to talk to people, or even being bubbly?
I feel like I can talk to anyone about anything. Like, if they just start – because I just love asking questions. So if they just start like, oh, I'm interested in this, I'll just ask a bunch of questions about it. Just even, maybe if I'm not even like – super interested in it, but I'm like, if you're obviously passionate about it, I want to get to know you, so now that's important to me.
Right.
So just getting to know the person you're flying with, I think, is really important, especially when training, because it's like you want to trust them and get to know them, because you're spending a lot of hours with them. Yeah. So.
And I think that makes a lot of sense. So you just finished up private recently, right?
Yeah, I finished up right around Thanksgiving.
Okay, gotcha. I'm sure you have – there's a lot to learn in private, especially if you're new to aviation, which I'm curious about what your experience level was coming into private. Had you ever been in a single prop engine plane?
I have like once or twice, but it was like back in high school, and I like didn't even give it a thought. Like, I was just like, I'm just in the back as a passenger. Like, I didn't really think about it. But I never like felt unsafe or anything. So I knew that wouldn't be a worry, because I know some people are like worried about being in a small plane. I'm like, it's not, like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Did you do a discovery flight when you took your tour?
Did a discovery flight back at home in California. Okay. So I did that there.
Because you get to take control of the controls.
Yeah, you get to fly around, and they let me take off and do all of that, which was a lot of fun. But obviously a little nerve wracking at first. I'm like, you're just telling me I can do this without any experience. They're like, yeah, just go ahead and give it a try. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And that's usually enlightening. Or at least I was in a plane a couple of times before I ever took controls. And then I thought, oh, I kind of get it now.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Like, I can see what's going on. But prior to that, so I have been in a plane. And then I took my like written over the summer. So I kind of had some knowledge of the written. But I kind of just like, that was just doing like sporties and figuring that out. Yeah. But I just learned everything at Thrust, like doing the ground classes and then learning here. I didn't have any like prior knowledge or experience. Like, I had zero time when I started.
Right.
So.
Okay, gotcha. And the reason I asked that is because I feel like a big part of what people always mention helped them get through the program mm-hmm. is typically asking lots of questions
yeah.
and talking to a lot of people and study groups and community, those sorts of things. And so I'm wondering, have you formed any study groups? How's it going with your class that you started with, that sort of?
Yeah, I feel like in private, we would all study together a lot. Like mm-hmm. we would always look in the group chat and be like, hey, I'm going to be here at this time. Like if anyone wants to join and study, we'd all rep through flashcards and all of that. Right. I feel like I was one to also talk a lot in class. Like I'm like, there's no such thing as a stupid question. I'm like, if I'm thinking it, maybe someone else is too, hopefully. Right. And I have no shame just being like, what's going on? I don't understand this.
Yeah, have you ever gotten nervous about that though? Because I've been that way. I'm like, am I asking too many questions? Am I asking stupid questions?
You know, at first, maybe a little bit. And then I feel like as the ground class went on, I got yeah. more comfortable with the people in my class okay. and the instructor. I feel like at first I was really nervous. Like I was like, I don't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. And then after like multiple classes, I was like, wait, we all kind of know each other and we're all getting through this. Like right. it's fine to ask questions. And I'm like, I'll participate because I feel like it's beneficial to the learning.
Yeah. And it usually proves to be, and I guess I'm wanting to make that point, or I want, when people are listening, if they're mm-hmm. in some sort of, I'm hoping that anyone feels comfortable in whatever training they're in to ask lots of questions. That's all. I'm a big question asker.
Yeah.
And I do my best at jobs where I've been able to have that sort of communication with people. So I could see that being a thing. Were you like that in school at all?
I feel like in high school, yeah, because yeah. it was smaller class. I mean, like 30 people, and like these classes are about like 10, so it's like, and you get to know everyone.
Okay.
In college, absolutely not. There'd be like 200 people in a room, and I'm like, I'm not exactly. asking a question in front of 200 people I don't know. Yeah. That's where my level of like public speaking leaves the door. I'm like, I gotta go.
I could see that in those big classes that's actually nerve wracking.
Yeah, but I can do a small group.
Yeah. Do you think that was part of what maybe turned you off in the middle of school, that maybe like you couldn't really get into a zone like that?
Yeah, I feel like a little bit. It was like, I just feel like I'm a person in like a sea of people, and mm-hmm. I was like, it's not like I really knew my professors and all of that, because it's like, it's hard to stand out when there's 200 kids in a room. Exactly. You just kind of go in and out. But it's been nice to be back in like a smaller classroom and like know the people you're with, which I feel like has been good for learning, yeah. at least for me.
Yeah, at least for me. That's how I am too. I like to participate. And if mm-hmm. I can't get somewhere I can participate, I might struggle a bit more.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about what it was like getting in through your private training? Because you're learning lots of knowledge and you're learning yeah. how to fly a plane.
Yeah.
And so can you just kind of give an idea of what that's like for anyone who's thinking about it?
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like in the beginning, it's really overwhelming because when you've never even been in or like managing a small plane, you're like, where do I start? Like, right. I just don't know what the right thing is. At least for me, I also was like hesitant to do things. So I'm like, oh my God, like if I do something wrong, like this could like really hurt someone.
Yeah.
So just having like confidence in what you're doing. I also feel like the sim and like prepping before the flight really helps. I wish like I would have gone back and maybe like looked at more things to like prep myself, because I was like, I don't know what's going on at right. first. So I would just say prepping beforehand, because obviously it's great, but the plane isn't necessarily a great classroom. Like obviously there's some good things to learn in there, but obviously if you're the whole flight just trying to learn things, it's like overwhelming, because this is probably not the best place to be learning how to do this.
Right.
You want to prep beforehand.
Exactly. Would you say that the plane portion of the flying, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're all good.
The portion of being in the plane and flying it, like you're saying, it's a little less about learning. Would you say then that it is more of about the technique of flying the plane, kind of?
A little bit, yeah. Like there's a technique and obvious skill to it. And at the beginning, I feel like I just like it would be like, just, you know, flare more, do this, turn the yoke. And I'd be like, I don't understand like how much is right or not enough. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it took like a few weeks just to get the feel of it. Like it mm-hmm. sounds unfortunate to say, but it's like sometimes it's just a feeling. They're like, I can't really explain it to you. It's yeah. just kind of like, you just need to know you need to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do you know? And now over time I kind of get it. I'm like, oh, when I'm coming into land, that's just, it's kind of just a feeling with your feet and the rudders. You just know how much you do or don't need.
Right.
But it's hard to explain to someone being like, exactly. how do you be like, oh, just like an inch, or like how, I can't describe how much pressure I'm putting on my foot right mm-hmm. now. It's just a feeling of how much you need.
Yeah.
So getting used to like just feeling it out obviously take some time, but in the beginning you're like, why am I not getting it? But usually there's that like flight or two where it just like clicks and you're like, wait, I understand that thing they're looking for, like what was the right thing to right. be doing.
Right. Okay. And so you say you know, you're making the point about getting through private, how the cockpit isn't necessarily the best classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else you were going to add on to that part about, or anything else you would say about private that someone maybe should know if they're thinking about starting?
Just really go through the ground. I mean, it is a lot of ground information and everything's overwhelming because everything's new. I feel like with private and instrument, everything's new for the first time. But even just starting commercial this week, like going through the class, I'm like, oh, I already know this, or this is something we've gone over. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel as overwhelming because it's like, oh, I've talked about this before.
Right.
Where in private, everything you've seen, you're like, I don't even know what that is. It's like a whole new language at some points.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. And I just asked that so I'd give you the chance to finish what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I like how you're talking about it's just a feeling, because that mm-hmm. is something, like when something is just a feeling, that's kind of the same thing as saying it's hard to put into words.
Yeah.
And that being said, if the plane is a difficult classroom, then a classroom is kind of things for words, right?
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to figure out more of a way to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that goes to say that's why it's so hard for you to kind of learn knowledge and to think so much mm-hmm. when you're really supposed to be focusing on how things feel.
Yeah.
Right.
And as someone that's an overthinker, I'm like, I don't know. Like, is this right or wrong? And so you kind of get in your head too, which is obviously, I think, something I've been trying to get better about through my flight training, is having more confidence in myself and my skills, because
okay.
I'm clearly capable. You know, I've gotten through some ratings and I'm like, I feel comfortable flying a plane, but there's just, I need more confidence in going through with that with some things.
Okay, gotcha. And that makes sense. I guess not overthinking is kind of what I wanted to kind of get to.
Yeah.
And I'll try one more time then. Is there any other scenario that you could think of where you've had to like remind yourself to not overthink too much that you could try to relate at all?
Oh, like any exam ever. I feel you study, you're like, I know all the material, I feel great. And then all of a sudden you walk into the test, the oral exam, whatever, and I feel like everything just leaves my brain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I felt so prepared, and all of a sudden I like, now I'm doubting myself. Like, was that really the answer?
Right.
So I think it just, you know, believing your answer's right and like sticking to what you believe it is.
Yeah. Do you feel like you ever get into what they call kind of like into flow, or a little bit of a flow state about things?
Sometimes, yeah, like when things are going well, you're like, right. Wait, I got this going, like let me just do this. And like if you were, I'm like, just relax, everything's good. And it's honestly, it's so much fun to fly, like I really enjoy it. So honestly, when you have days like that where like everything you feel like goes well, it's like I'm just in the groove doing it, which is fun.
I think that that's kind of what makes flying cool, that a lot of people are get really into. The opposite of sitting at a desk.
For sure.
When one thing flows to the next, and it's usually involves something physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I like when people talk a little bit about that. So I'm excited to hear if I'm sure we'll have more conversations as you progress through your training.
Yeah.
And I'll be looking forward to see how many more times you get to go through that. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Now that you're going through commercial, what's sort of different for you than when you were going through private? Is I guess private and instrument.
Yeah.
Kind of tell me a little bit more about how it's progressed through instrument and then now that you're in commercial.
Yeah, so starting commercial, it's literally been like less than a week. So like just kind of now starting it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been different from private in the sense that like you do more cross country. So like I've done my sim, I'm doing my sims right now. But I've gotten to do 2 cross countries. So it's like, oh, I've gotten to go to new states, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm not from Texas, I was like, oh, there's not like any like cities I'd rather fly to. I was like, I'd rather try landing in a new state to be like, oh, like I've flown to this state. It's kind of like what I've been wanting to do.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Missouri and then Louisiana and then Arkansas.
It's like a milestone sort of.
Yeah, I'm like trying to check off states instead of like, oh, because I'm like, oh, let me just like fly over my house nearby, or like I have family in this city. I'm like, I don't have any family out here, so might as well just be like, oh, I've been to this state now because I'm not from here. So I'm like, I got the West Coast down, but I don't really got anything down over here.
Mm-hmm. And that would make for a cool post. I'm always thinking about things I can like kind of make like a cool story
a cool
out
post,
of.
Post, be like, hey, I'm here. Yeah. And it's also funny because like my friends are like, wait, why are you all of a sudden in Missouri today? And right. I'm like, it just happened. If they have my location, they're like, where is she right now? I'm just like off somewhere. And I'm like, it happens.
Yeah.
Just out and about. But yeah, so for commercial so far, it's just been the cross countries that have been cool. But it also makes you feel like more of a real pilot, because I feel like when you're doing your training, you go to like the same few airports and it's kind of, you know, just a bunch of repetition. And it's like, oh, I've been doing the same thing. It's obviously still a lot of fun, but it's like I've been to the same airport multiple times. So it's fun to like actually go to a new airport and actually apply the skills that you've learned to like an actual setting, like going, you know, doing a 6-hour flight. Like I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a 6-hour flight, which was really cool to do that.
Yeah. I can imagine that kind of like scratches the itch for adventure a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially landing at like a is it not a little scary landing at a new airport?
Yeah, it is a little bit. Like you don't know what the airport looks like. Mm-hmm. And like just like because you get comfortable when you go to the same few, like, you know, right. You know what frequencies to talk to, like, you know, you just get used to everything, and then all of a sudden you go somewhere new and you're like, wait, I kind of got to think about it some more. And I bet over time it becomes a lot less, like, stressful. You're like, oh, whatever, it's just get all your information and it's fine. But I was like, oh, I'm kind of nervous because it's, like, new and I haven't done exactly. This. You're talking to a new person at Tower. Is it untowered? And it's a little more to think about, but I've enjoyed it. It's been, you know, it's nice to actually apply what I've learned.
Exactly. And I think that it's easy to feel like you're just kind of doing things just to do it. But there's a big payoff when you get to apply the things you learn.
Actually utilize yeah, it.
Exactly. So it kind of brings me to the question of maybe asking you a bit about what it looks like to prepare to go to a new airport. Because you say you get comfortable going to the same one. And what's the difference? Are airports different? And where? What? How so?
Well, it's honestly, like, different. Like, every airport has, like, the same things. It's more just getting used to, like, the area. Or, like, know what you're looking for. Like, obviously, okay. When I'm flying to an airport now, I've been in the area so much where I know, like, what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. But also, I was going at night, and I feel like I just struggle seeing at night in general. So, I'm like, where am I even trying to look for right now? I'm, like, trying to find the beacon at night. And I'm like, I don't even know if I can see it because it's super far out. And then just talking to, like, center more. Like, I'm usually never with center because or like I filed the flight plan for the first time. I've never had to do that because I just haven't needed to. And also, well, now I'm qualified too also, which is cool. I mean, you always look at, like, the weather beforehand, but obviously how much is the weather going to change when you're only flying 30 minutes away? It's only going to be so different from there. Like, how much is really going to change? But, like, when you're, you know, flying 6 hours out, you know, going through all the weather, seeing there, kind of planning ahead, I feel like it's a lot just more like planning what you're going to be doing in the future, which is nice. But yeah.
And some airports aren't even towered, right? Some of the smaller ones?
Yeah, a lot of them aren't, especially in the middle of the night. Like, they're not.
But you've had to fly into new ones where they are towered, and do you use, like, you still have to communicate and things like that,
and
right?
It's obviously the same, you know, you're speaking the same things to them. It's just, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just new and different because you get so used to doing it. Like, I'm so used to just, like, talking to Addison Tower. Like, I'm like, oh,
you already,
like,
know who it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, I know that guy's voice. I'm like, oh, it's them on the frequency today. Where I'm like at a new airport. I'm like, oh, new person. Who knows? You know how it is. Or, like, you know, sometimes, like, they're really chill, and sometimes they're a little more, like, strict with stuff. They're like, that was wrong, and you're like, sorry, I'm learning. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's my, you know, I'm new with this.
And they don't even know that here at the airport in Addison, right? Like, or maybe whatever airport Thrust is at. We have a couple locations. They know that there's training students there, but when you're coming into an airport, you're a pilot.
Yeah, they're like, you're legal to do this. You better know. And obviously, like, mistakes happen. You might not be perfect.
Exactly.
I choke up on the comms. I freeze. I'm like, I'm speaking fine. And then all of a sudden, I push on the mic and I'm like, oh, what should I say?
Because
I just, like, blank sometimes.
Yeah, I would overthink that the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fear the radio calls the most, I feel like.
I think that would be the thing that would be the most difficult thing for me to overcome, like, in terms of just being nervous and overthinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that. I'm sure flying a plane is pretty nerve-wracking too.
But, at first, yeah.
but I can tend to speak up and get twisted in my words when I get nervous. So.
Yeah. And it's like, you understand what, like, they're telling you, and then you go to say it back, and I'm like, I understand what they meant, but I said that back horribly, and I'm like, hopefully they don't call me out and be like, repeat that. I'm like, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant, though. I'll do it. I'll do what you're telling me.
Yeah, copy.
Yeah.
okay, but you'd say flying to new, just to make it easier for the people who are listening, there's, like, flight plan, and then there's just be comfortable with your comms and know some of the main things to look for.
Yeah.
And look into weather. Those are, like a general checklist of flying into a new airport.
Yeah,
by
and
yourself.
That's all included in, like, your flight planning anyways. Like, you should be doing that anyways. It's just to be prepared and better to overprepare than underprepare.
Right. Was it like your first time flying by yourself in that scenario then?
Oh, I was so nervous for my first or when I did, like, my 3, like, laps in the pattern, that's what you first do, like, your initial solo. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I thought that was so fun. I was like, wow, like, I can do this.
Yeah,
and then I was just super surprised you do that. And then, like, literally, like, 48 hours later, they're like, okay, now do your cross country. I was like, wait, already? Like, in my head, I just thought I had more time. And I was like, oh, there is no time.
Yeah.
They obviously won't send you if they don't think you're ready. But I was like, oh, I just did, like, you know, a few laps and landed. And then, like, 48 hours later, they're like, so we're going to send you to Oklahoma. And I was like, oh, awesome. And it was I was really proud of myself. It was a cool experience. I think I came back, I was, like, a little nervous at the end. I was like, I think I'm ready for this to be over because it is stressful.
Yeah.
But it was really rewarding when I came back. I was like, wow, like, I can do that. And I did it, like, 3.5 weeks in, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. I think – yeah, it took me, like, 3.5 weeks to do it.
I didn't realize it happens that soon.
It's quick.
I'd like, I'm thinking in my head here, for anyone, let's say that you're talking to someone who doesn't know anything about aviation, mm-hmm. and they're asking you questions. Can you describe what it's like what a cross country is and what it's like? And like you said, kind of repeat how early you do it in your training.
Yeah, because obviously when you think of cross country, everyone's like, oh my God, you're going so far. I'm like, it's not what you think. I'm not like, I could stay in the state of Texas and mm-hmm. that would be counted as my cross country.
Right.
There's just certain requirements. Like for your private rating, you need 5 hours of solo. So, right. My cross country was like a 2.6, and you just have to land, I believe it's just at three towered airports.
Uh-huh.
And then like for commercial, it's, I think you need like 10 hours of solo.
Okay.
So, and it needs to be like 300 nautical miles. So it's more just like the distance requirement, but it's not like you could stay in the same state and fulfill that requirement. Like you don't have to go.
Well, especially if you live in Texas.
Yeah. Maybe other states would be more difficult, but here it's like, you can head out east and you'll be totally fine.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so you just do a lot of flying by yourself more than you would normally, and that's only 3 weeks in.
For me, yeah. So I think my first flight was like end of September, and then I did my first initial solo like the second week of October, yeah. And then yeah, so it was about like I would say like 3.5 weeks by the time I was like I've gotten to a plane, and they were like, okay, go. Which was honestly, like, I didn't realize it'd be that fast, yeah. When I was like, wow, they get you through quick, and obviously yeah. It just depends on like. If they think you're ready, obviously they're not going to send you because obviously it's a big thing to do by yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. I was so nervous, but I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah,
and
especially if they've co-signed you, right?
Yeah, so. I'm like, someone's endorsing me. Someone's also agreeing to send me out as well.
Yeah, that can help with the confidence because I can question myself, but if someone else says I can do it, then well, okay.
I'm like, yeah, they're signing papers. Yeah, so I'm like, they better have some faith in me too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, great. And so you were saying how commercial has been a bit different because of the fact that you're doing cross countries and things like that.
Yeah, I've just done a lot more like longer flight. Like I've only done two flights so far, but they've been 5 and 6 hours. So I'm used to doing like 1.5 hours staying in the area.
Yeah.
But I've honestly really enjoyed it so far. It's been great. But I'm excited to also start learning all like the commercial maneuvers and like getting back into just doing VFR stuff because I've been flying at night and with foggles the last 2 months. So it's nice to look outside.
People say that. I missed it. Can you tell me then a little bit about what it was like an instrument? Because people say that once they get to commercial, it's kind of a breath of fresh air. They get to kind of look at the plane and feel it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Versus instrument, you're looking at the instruments the whole time, right?
Yeah, you're just staring at the instruments the whole time. And mm-hmm. then you wear the foggles or the hood, and you're just like basically staring down at that. Mm-hmm. But I also really enjoyed instrument because I feel like I like the structure of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just being told what to do. It's just like follow a list. And maybe some people think that's boring, but it's like just follow the list, go where they tell you to, and just complete these steps.
Yeah.
Where I feel like there's like more to it with like VFR flying, but an instrument, it's like just follow the steps and you'll be good.
Exactly.
So I kind of liked that, how like you knew what to expect.
Build your confidence
but
a little.
That, but also of like, you can get really task saturated, and it's also different when you're doing training. All the airports are super close by, so it's like you have to set up, super quick, and it's like you're doing all these approaches where like in a real world situation, you'd be on 4-hour flight, and then you would just do that one approach in at the end, and you're good.
Yeah.
Where here, it's like, okay, you're doing 3 or 4 in like an hour and a half because all the airports are so close. So you get really task saturated really quick if you don't. And I have someone that gets overwhelmed pretty fast. I'm like, got to keep it together.
Right. So you have to go up mentally, what's the word, prepared to engage throughout the whole thing. Like, you're doing X, Y, Z.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing is though, you don't know what approaches you're doing because your instructor, like it's not like you, like at the airlines, they know what airport they're flying to and they can kind of plan in advance. Okay, let's do this approach. Or I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to be in the plane and someone's going to go, hey, you're doing this right now. And I'm like, okay, let me get all set up for this. Cause it's like I do have a say, but I just do what I'm told in that situation.
Exactly.
But it makes the training good. Cause then obviously you're prepared. And like when you actually do it, it seems so much more relaxed. Like I remember doing the instrument cross country and I was like, wait, this is great. Like it's so much more chill than it is during a training flight.
Yeah.
So
I can imagine that. You're right. Because the training is supposed to put pressure on you. It's real world training.
Yeah.
It sounds like in a lot of ways anyways. It's supposed to be more difficult than when you actually get on the plane.
So then when you actually do it by yourself, like, wait, I can totally handle this. This is fine. So which obviously makes it great. But it was just interesting to be like, I'm so used to like, I feel like I'm always doing something. And then all of a sudden the cross country, I was like, wow, I have so much time to like prep and set up for this.
Right. So you go from private where you're kind of getting the basics down, you're getting used to everything.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, I'm a private pilot now. An instrument's going to build your confidence and being able to handle all the tasks and follow the checklist to make sure you know what's going on with the plane. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get back into feeling the plane with a little bit more, I don't know, expertise,
understanding right. it, and then also just becoming a better pilot. Obviously, there's, you know, a private pilot isn't going to be as good a commercial pilot. There's a little more, there's a higher expectation with things and like standards, obviously.
Exactly. Okay, gotcha. And so one question I have kind of looking at all of that, kind of zooming out there is, we did talk about how you don't necessarily want to be treating the cockpit like a classroom. How do you prepare on the ground for flying the plane in the air?
I feel like for at least like private, you can go over, like you can like chair fly. So at least you know, like, okay, like this is how I would set up and just like mentally think about it.
Can you describe chair flying a little bit?
Yeah. You kind of just, so like if I go through like the checklist, I don't really know a great way to describe it. You kind of
just imagining you're sitting there and you're pretending to fly
a plane,
but it's
not
just
really,
that, right?
You look really silly doing it. Like if like I'm like, if my roommate's walking and I'm just sitting there like visually doing stuff, they're probably like, what is she? Obviously they know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But like if you just saw me in public doing that, people would be like, what is this girl doing?
Yeah.
Because I'm like randomly like, okay, like on button, doing that, down here the flaps.
Pretend.
And then, yeah, I'm like, okay, like trim. So yeah, everyone's gonna be like, what is this girl doing?
Yeah.
So you just like just literally imagine the plane in front of you and just imagine doing everything. Like, so if you're going to run through, like, the descent checklist first. And, like, thrust, when you start, they give you, like, a poster of, like, what the panel all looks like and everything. But even not, you can just, like, visualize it. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of go through the steps. Okay, so I would add this much RPM. Okay, now I need to add this much trim. Mm-hmm. Okay, now think about starting your bank. Okay, add some run. And you just literally walk through everything in your head. And the more you do it, the more you get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And obviously, it helps, obviously, doing it once in the plane to be like, okay, like, I understand what's going on. Because, like, when they ask you to chair fly it when you've never done it in a plane, I'm like, I don't understand what I'm doing at all. Like, I'm like, wait, have my instructor do it, see what this is. But after that first flight, I can go home and then be like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing now.
Okay.
So that kind of helps.
Right, it's kind of do it. It'd be difficult to do it without that example first.
Yeah, I'm like, I need a demo first, and then I could be like, oh, that's kind of what I'm looking for. That was the sight picture. Because they're just like walking through, and they're like, okay, you should be picking these reference points and then bank at this angle. I'm like, I can't even visually think about what that is. I'm like, let me see it once or like watch a video, and then I can go from there.
And so you would say that chair flying is probably one of the main ways that you would prepare to fly?
Preparing and then just like looking over everything, or just at least asking like, okay, like what's the plan for this flight? Like, what are we working on? Uh-huh. So at least I just know like what to mentally prepare for. Like, oh, is this something like, are we going to be doing maneuvers today? We're working on like landings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to know just like what kind of the game plan is. So at least I'm like, I have a general idea of like what to mentally prep for.
Right. I think I've done quite a few videos on this channel, on our YouTube channel anyways, about like what it's like to approach a check ride.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this goes for almost all flights, but one of the main things is one of the most cliche things, and it's to be prepared.
Yeah.
And so, but are you able to kind of speak on like what it's like to when you feel prepared and when you don't feel prepared, like what the difference is? Because I'm sure there's been times when you've gone up without knowing. You said you like to kind of ask, what were we doing in this flight?
Yeah.
There's times you've gone up without asking, right?
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know what's going on. Especially like if I'm flying with someone new. Because you get, when I fly with the same person, you kind of get in the groove of like what the game plan is. But if you're flying with someone new and I'm like, I don't know how they do things. Like, let's just see how it goes. And obviously it's good to kind of to see the unexpected and not always know everything. Because realistically, like things are going to change throughout a flight.
Right. There's people who don't they're not really used to thinking ahead in general.
Yeah.
Like I used to, especially when I was younger, I didn't really think ahead about preparing for things like at all, really. I was always like in the moment, I'm just going to show up.
Yeah.
And like a lot of people go through almost everything that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, it sounds like preparing is a little more just kind of natural for you.
Yeah.
In that way, just thinking about it because you can't help it.
Yeah. I'm like always thinking like, oh, this is coming up. I should be thinking. And maybe that's just like a little bit of anxiety. I'm like, I need to be prepared and plan out everything. I'm like a little more maybe type A, but every once in a while, sometimes I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't know what's going on. Let's just hope for the best. At some point when I feel like I've like, there's only so much you can. I mean, there's always more to prepare, but at some point I'm like, I've looked over everything I think I could have looked at this point. I'm like, well, I either know it or I don't. And maybe that's not always the best mentality, but there's definitely been times where I'm like,
a good one.
I'm kind of like, you know what? I either know it or I don't, and let's just see how this, you know, stage check goes and hopefully it works out. But obviously sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay. It's all about learning and figuring it out from there.
Exactly. I think that, but sometimes I've had to tell myself that to help myself not overthink. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fair tactic. Yeah. You know, there's no point in stressing yourself up out all the way up until like a check ride or something like that. Yeah. Or a stage check. How have your check rides been? Were those nerve wracking? Did you have to, you know, do any second ones that you wouldn't mind sharing or anything like that?
Yeah, it's been nerve wracking before. I psych myself out for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd say my biggest advice is like, don't force yourself to go. I've definitely been times where I'm like, I just wanted to get it over with. And I was just like, I can't. And uh-huh. I maybe should have like discontinued. Okay. So I feel like if you're like, the ground doesn't go great, maybe think about discontinuing. Like, no one's forcing you to fly.
Right.
And I feel like I learned that the hard way. Yeah. So that'd okay. be my biggest advice is don't force yourself into a situation that you could have prevented.
Okay. So in those kind of situations, how would you imagine it having gone differently? Like, was it difficult to make the call? Because, and why didn't you make that call to kind of like discontinue?
I feel like I wanted the check ride to be over so bad. Like, I was waiting all week for it, and like mm-hmm. the anxiety of just being like, I'm having this coming up. I just wanted to like move on to commercial and start the next thing. And I feel like something about 141, it just maybe thrust in general, it is very go, go, go. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there is a pressure to just get everything done.
Right.
And so I feel like I put that pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like whether I can handle it or not. But yeah.
Yeah. So and if it would have gone alternatively, you would have said, hey, you know what? Today's not the best day for it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you would have said, I need another 4 days. I need another week
or something. I just need some time. Like, even just the next day, but just to, like, not, like, be, like, worked up about whatever, like, in my head about, like, oh, could I have answered that better on the oral part or something like that.
Right. Okay.
Just doing that, I feel like, would have helped. But I was, like, the pressure of, like, let's get this done is always kind of It's yeah. always the next rating, the next thing, the next class. Let's see how fast we can get you through.
Yeah, I've
which
heard
is
this.
Great, you know, because it obviously is zero to airlines, but I also think there is, and it's important to take time for a second. Like, if mm-hmm. that's not, if you wait a week, it's like, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? But mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes not everyone understands that. They're like, just get it scheduled and put it on. It doesn't matter how you're feeling. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's something that should be more looked into or like cared about.
No, I hear you. No, and that's fair. To be honest, it's been a while. I've heard that from RCFIs before that they mm-hmm. actually would recommend something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it's probably more difficult in practice, right?
Yeah.
Because everyone's got their objectives, whether you be a student or a CFI.
Yeah.
But I have heard that from CFIs, and maybe we haven't talked about it in a while. But even here on the podcast, I've heard someone say, hey, if it's not going good, or you haven't slept good, or you don't feel prepared, mm-hmm. or maybe there's you come across something that goes to show that you're obviously maybe not confident yet,
yeah.
then it's good to go ahead and take that as a moment to step back,
yeah.
maybe even reschedule or discontinue and say something like, okay, I got caught off guard by this. I'm going to like discontinue and go work on this.
Yeah.
And that's a hard call to make.
Yeah, because it's obviously like you do all this time prepping, and then you get there and you're like, wait, did I not prep enough? And then it's like now you're self-doubting yourself, being
right.
like, what could I have done better? And I mean, something great about being here is though, like you can get it rescheduled really quickly, like at least for private and instrument, they're EOCs and not like actual check rides. So it's, you know, there isn't as long as a wait to get that rescheduled.
Right.
But obviously it's a bummer when you do all that prep and it's like, wait, was I really prepared? And it's like, I thought I was. So
yeah,
and it's just having that self-doubt.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're all good.
I think it can be difficult to accept that, like, you put in a bunch of work and then you still kind of felt that way in the moment.
Yeah. And in reality, there's also times where, like, maybe you're just being too hard on yourself. Like, the amount of times I've walked away from something and I was like, that was a horrible flight. That was a horrible ground. And the instructor was like, that was totally fine. And I was like, well, I don't feel that way. And they were like, that was okay. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have passed you. Or like, I'm not going to send you for the stage check, but I didn't think you were ready for it. And I was like, I didn't feel so great about it. I think that just happens, but it's like, I thought that went horrible. And they were like, it really wasn't as bad as you made it up to be, but I'm just in my head about it.
Yeah. It's hard not to want to, I don't know. It's like a performance anxiety kind of thing.
Yes,
I get
for
that
sure.
way. Like, I want to be good at everything all the time.
Yeah. I want everything to be perfect, and that's not the reality of it.
Yeah. And so, but you're a student. And mm-hmm. so I guess that's the part that's, I've heard people talk a lot about that you have to remember that you're a student and that failing is part of it.
I think failing is something you have to be okay with. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've been okay with, when it comes to a stage check, like, it's not personal. Like, I also don't think, like, they're like if you're, like, upset, like, oh, why do they fail me? Mm-hmm. That's just – they're just doing the right thing for you, and it's going to make me a better pilot, mm-hmm. like, at the end of the day. Like, right. I don't feel like a fail is never personal.
Right.
Personal. And it's not, like – no instructors wanting to fail you. Everyone wants you to succeed. That's the whole point of this. You know, we've all been through it.
And our instructors have been through the same program.
Yeah, they've done it. They know how it feels to be in our shoes. They want everyone to do good. It's not personal if they're like, hey, that was unsat. I'm like, they probably don't want to give me that news either, you know, but it's the reality of it. And being okay with failing and how to move on after is definitely something that I feel like isn't really talked about. And I feel like it's like, good thing to start being comfortable with, because obviously failing is a part of the process.
Yeah.
And it's the only way you can be better and learn, because no one's going to be perfect every time. There's a lot you're learning and it's difficult. No one's going to be great 100% of the time.
Right. I think that's, I mean, those are, I think those are great takeaways. I think that's a good takeaway. And I've heard a couple of people talk about that too. And I, would you say that, because failing is kind of like, it's like inevitable.
It really is.
And you'd rather do it now than later, if anything, like get it out the way now, if the way I see it, kind of. Again, harder in practice than it is to say.
Yeah, but it's always really easy to say, and then the moment comes around, and I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't what I thought it would be.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I definitely, there's moments I could have been better with it, but I feel like when it comes to, like, stage checks, it's like, okay, just to retrain and do that, you know, EOCs are maybe a little harder, but, like, when it comes to a stage check, I'm like, it's just a practice. This is what they're doing. It's prepping you.
That makes sense. Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, no, that's good. I think that's a good takeaway, because I want people – aviation is very it's like who knows the most, and
who knows the most, and everyone posts their highlights.
Exactly.
I feel like never, like, no one ever, you know, some people share their downfalls, but not everyone, and I'm like, it's okay, that's the reality of it, and I'm like, we're not all perfect.
Yeah. And that's what I want people and listeners to hear, because we have examples of that all over the podcast, and I think that's my favorite part about the podcast, is we get to have more realistic conversations. I mean, you hear lots of educational and instructional content all over the internet, and you hear a lot of people critiquing other people. And I think that's good for the community in terms of pushing everyone. But I also think that, you know, in terms of building confidence and making good students, it's good to hear how other people approach it. And I guess that's all I'm saying, is I want our listeners to hear that it is good to talk about failures a little bit, so that other people can know how to move past those same failures, because everyone's going to come across
them. Everyone's going to have it. And if you don't hear it, because then it's like you feel like you're the only person it's happened to when no one else talks about it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well, no one else talked about it. And then something happens, and then everyone's like, same thing happened to me. And I was like, that would have been great to know beforehand. I didn't realize a lot of other people had this similar experience.
Is there any examples of that you could think of? I know I'm just kind of putting you on the spot when I say that, but like, is there anything that you've gotten into so far with aviation that you're like, oh, I didn't really know that was going to be something I had to kind of like overcome, that you would like to share with someone else? I don't know. It's kind of hard. But
not really.
It could even be maybe is there something that you had to like learn that you didn't know that aviation was going to make you learn? But you kind of had a good idea already. You did your writtens, and your family's in aviation, so.
Yeah, no, I feel like I kind of knew what to expect just because I could ask my family about it. Like, I could be like – but also a lot has changed in 30 years. Like, there's certain things I talked to my dad about, and he's like this, and I'm like – that's just not what happens anymore. Obviously, like, some things are the same, but I'm like, that's different.
We approach it a little different these days.
Like, tech has changed. I'm like, we have like, he had to talk through like a mic, and I'm like, we have headsets now, so I'm like, that's a little different.
That's like, kind of funny. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so
Well, so to zoom back out, you know, we've talked about how you decided that maybe the desk idea, the whole 9-to-5 idea, maybe isn't for you. And that sounds like you probably made the right call, because you're talking about how you really do like going to new airports, talking to new ATC towers, and all kinds of things like that. What's sort of a vision you might have for yourself? Do you have like an idea of where you want to end up after training? I mean, or are you kind of just seeing how it takes you?
Obviously, the goal is to have like a CFI job somewhere, you know, time build, get my hours. I want to go to the airlines. I don't think I want to do 135 at all. I think I just would like to go straight for the airlines. Dream world, I'd love to also work for Delta, because that's, you know, the company my dad works for and I've grown up with it. But whoever hires me, a job's a job. I'll take it. You know, I'm doing this because I feel like I'm passionate about it, and I'm just excited to see where it takes me. Obviously, you can't really plan for it. It's just kind of whatever opportunities come to you, and if you take it and see where it goes from there. I feel like it's very unpredictable. You know, you don't know where you're going to be living or where you're going to be based or what you're going to be flying and all of that. But I like how every day is going to be new and different. Obviously, there's a routine of flying a plane. There's checklists, but every flight's going to be different. New places. Little things that go differently every time, which I think makes the job exciting. It's repetitive, but also not repetitive at the same time.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to kind of be repetitive, but there's so much room to like for nuance, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me, even I wasn't, I've learned about most of my aviation through this company and through the podcast. And I think that's what's allowed me to ask good questions, right? But I mean, as much as I've done it, I'm like, man, this is really interesting. I feel like I could do something like that, but we'll see about that. Do you imagine yourself being stationed somewhere particularly in the country?
Maybe back in California. I'd love to find my way back there at some point. Honestly, right now I'm okay with moving around. I feel like I'm young, I'm in my 20s. This is the chance to go and see new places. Yeah. I have nothing holding me anywhere. This is the chance to, you know, maybe everyone has that. People have, you know, you know, husbands and wives and kids and all of that. But I don't really have that. So I'm just like wherever the wind takes me. If I need to move or try a new city, I'm open for it. I feel like that's kind of the beauty about this, which I've enjoyed. But I'd love to find myself back in California at some point. But if that's not in the plan, I'll see what happens.
Yeah, awesome. I after talking to people who are maybe CFIs or even students, some people have struggled with finding out like what they want to do next because they have like a certain set of parameters. Like, I know I want to be here, and maybe they have family or maybe they don't. But either way, people have these parameters and they say things like, I want it to look like X, Y, and Z. Like, but I'm like, it's competitive. So it kind of really seems like it's hard to have those parameters and still get what you want.
Yeah. I feel like something's got to give one or the other, because it's like, what are the odds you're going to find the perfect job you want and in the area you want? You know, you can try your best, and I hope it works out for everyone. But, you know, I'm kind of setting my expectations of like my things. Like, I want a CFI job somewhere, and if I need to move, I need to move. And that's something I'm okay with. But obviously not everyone has that, you know, ability to do that. So it just really depends on where you're at. And also, you know, it's a hard decision to make whether you need to pick up and move, find a job that, you know, suits what you want, because you obviously want to be happy and passionate about what you're doing. So it kind of just depends. I feel like each situation's different.
And of course, people do sometimes still succeed at like doing it the way they want to.
Absolutely.
It just is just competitive, and you have to be really locked in to do that. That's one thing I wanted to ask you. We've been talking for a little while here, so we'll probably get some advice before we go. But I want to ask you, what was some of the difference in your experience of going to college and now that you're in flight training? It's completely different. And you stopped wanting to do the other too. So is there any contrast and comparing you could do there?
Yeah, I feel like at least in college, like I finished it all. Like I have my degree and all that. Okay. And you're all good. No, I finished. This is still wanted the degree, and I'm happy. I'm proud that I have that.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of it is you learn all this material, but you don't really apply it as much. It's like, okay, I've learned all of it, but it's like at the end, you know, you get a job and you apply it. Everything I learn here, it's like, oh, I'm applying it to what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like everything in college is just like, here's the general idea. But there's also a lot of classes you take that I'm like, I'm just fulfilling some requirement that has nothing to just check some box that I need to be here. I've taken some really random classes and they were cool, but
you had to
like,
pay for them too.
Yeah. And I was like, but this has nothing to do with my major or whatever, which, you know, I think learning's always good to learn new things, you know, education. It's a privilege, and it's awesome to have some weird facts. And I'm like, wow, I know a bunch about anthropology now. Yeah. But everything you learn, at least in flight school, it's like, okay, there's a reason I'm learning this, and I'm going to apply it to this, which is nice to actually apply it and like I understand the use of it, which is, I don't know, it's more rewarding because I feel like I'm like, oh, there was a point to learning this. And maybe if I've, you know, decided to get a job in public health, that I would have felt that way then. But in the moment, I was like, not applying it as much as like just like understanding the theories and the concepts of it. Where here, it's like, okay, learn it. Okay, well, now go do it. So it's
– yeah. It's almost like you're forced to be, I don't know, to comprehend more in flight training.
Yeah.
I feel like in school, oftentimes, if you're not like super interested in everything you're doing, and even if you are, you are just learning a lot of theory.
Yeah.
And a lot of the training you're actually going to get for whatever job you do is going to be on the job.
Yeah. I'm like, they'll prep me for that. Like, that's their job, is to be like, here's the training. This is what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know the background behind it, but they'll tell me what the XYZ goal is.
Yeah. Okay. I just wonder that for the people who, because some people prefer, I think you learn a lot of study skills and independent skills, people skills, soft skills in general.
Yeah.
In college.
I completely agree. I feel like if I would have come out of high school, I was a different person. Then a lot has changed then the way I view and think about the world, and also just the way I'm able to study in like just like adult a little bit. I feel like that really helps.
I can only imagine coming out of high school and going into something like this.
I commend all the people that do it. I'm like, you guys are awesome for that, because I was like, I don't know, like, if I would have been able to like ready to just jump into that.
Right.
But yeah, college definitely preps you study wise and understanding a lot of material at once. When you're taking three classes that are all 10 weeks long, it's a lot of material. It's really quick. I'm like, right. You're 2 weeks in and they're like, here's your midterm. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my yeah. God.
It teaches you how to really structure your time and your yeah. thinking for sure. And that's something I struggled with it, like having to get over that hump.
Yeah.
And so I've noticed that with some young people who have been able to do that really well, mm-hmm. but a lot of people got those skills from college, and I yeah. realized that's probably one of the main benefits from college, regardless of what you do with your degree,
yeah.
in my opinion. One other thing I wanted to ask you is, someone might hear, oh, her mom, her dad might be involved in aviation. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why she could, like, you know, do well in flight training. Me, yeah. though, I don't think I could do that. Do you think that's... What do you think about that? What would you say?
I don't feel like that's true at all. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like I can ask for like advice, but at the end of the day, it's you doing it. So you got to mm-hmm. be the one like putting in the effort. I don't feel like having parents involved. Yeah, they understand what I'm going through, and maybe they can relate to it and being like, oh, I know what's going on. And when I talk to them about it, they're like, oh, I know what this is. But when it comes down to whether you do it, it's all within yourself. There's nothing my parents can do to help me fly this plane. Like,
right.
they can believe in me, and that's great, but that does nothing for me.
Right.
So it's really just like the motivation and having believing in yourself, and also just putting the time in to study. It is a lot of self-studying and time managing your time well.
Yeah. And I guess I like to ask that sort of thing, because there's a lot of people who are like, even like you said, you never really considered it until a certain point.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who, like, this is really out of the blue for them. They're like, I don't even know anyone
yeah.
in aviation. But there's a lot of people at our school like that. A lot of people on the podcast that I've talked to have
for
done
sure.
that. People who are like, I just signed up. And they figure it out. And so I guess I want people to know, if you're interested in aviation, that it's very accessible for everyone. You don't have to go to the military first.
Yeah.
Schools like Thrust, they're all over the country. Wherever you are, you can Google flight school near me. And we talked about the Discovery flight earlier. If anyone's listening still and you're wondering, like, what is that? It's a test drive of a plane. You don't need to be a pilot to test drive the plane. There will be a certified instructor with you, hopefully. and you get to see what it's like. But you can Google Discovery flight, flight school near me. If Thrust is anywhere near you, maybe like Mesa, Arizona or somewhere in Texas, then you're welcome to visit with us too. But check it out. You don't have to know anyone. Is there anything you would say to anyone who's thinking about starting flight training and just doesn't and hasn't?
Do a Discovery flight. See if you feel comfortable and it's something. Yeah. But the moment I got into the plane and was just sitting there, I was like, this is awesome. I could totally see myself doing this. Mm. It's – you just sit there and you're like, wow, I can't believe that, like, you can get paid to do this. Like, this is just incredible that you can just go around and do all this. And I feel like – it's super rewarding, especially like learning, like teaching yourself everything and being like, wow, I can do this. Like, I'm able to operate this all by myself, which I don't know. I never thought I'd be able to. If you would ask me 5 years ago, I'd have been like, absolutely not. It never crossed my mind. And then like 2 years ago, I was like, I need to switch it up and I want to learn some more. So let's do this.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Pilots Say What, where we get to hear what pilots have to say. Thank you, Jordan, for having a conversation with us on this episode. We'll see you guys next week.